He's one of the best-known people in America and in many countries of the world because of his being on television every day, many times a day, in every part of our country. And I first knew his parents. His father was a United States senator, and his father and mother were among the first that helped introduce me into Washington when we held a crusade there about 1952. And I got to know the Robertson family, and never dreamed, of course, what was going to happen to Pat. I doubt if his parents did either, because he was on his way to be a lawyer. He was at Yale University getting his law degree, and he became a solicitor, a lawyer, and yet God was speaking to him. And he started in a very small way. And today he has one of the great television networks of America, and he has what is called the 700 Club, which is seen everywhere. You can go to Japan or many other countries and see it every day. And you see Pat Robertson. He has a tremendous mind as well as a great heart. And I can tell you personally about his heart because of his generosity to us and to our work and our ministry, for which we're deeply grateful, beyond that of any other organization that I can think of, has been Pat's support and prayer of us. He has members of our team on his program from time to time, and he has been used of the Lord to reach millions upon millions of people in hundreds of television outlets throughout the world. And we're delighted to ask Pat Robertson, Dr. Pat Robertson, to come and speak to us now. And if you want a university training, by the way, in communications and business and education and biblical studies, the CBN University that's been built in Virginia, he may say a word about it. But we're delighted to have him tonight. Let's give him a big welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. What a joy and an honor and a privilege it is to be here with you in Amsterdam and to share this meeting. I had some apprehension about the evening because my work forced me to take what we would call the red-eye special to Amsterdam last night, and I didn't arrive till about 9 o'clock this morning and got a brief amount of sleep during the day, not much. But as my wife and I were praying about this meeting, I felt a special sense of destiny to be here tonight, and I felt an anointing of the Holy Spirit for tonight. And it is my feeling that this meeting and you men and women who are here may well be God's instruments to change the entire world. And during what I have to say, I would like to give you a brief plan about how the 4,000 evangelists here in 6 years, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, could win the entire world for Jesus. And that, I believe, is what God wants. A couple of things personally. Later on, after my remarks, they're scheduled on the program, about a 15-minute film to show the types of mass media that our organization and wonderful people like Paul Freed, Transworld Radio, Bob Bowman, and others are using, plus video cassettes and video and audio cartridges, the various techniques of evangelization by mass media. We'll show you some scenes from the Far East, some from South America, etc. So I won't take a long time to talk about that. Our staff has prepared that for you, and that will be shown as part of the broadcast. But I'm very excited about two things that have happened to me this week, and I would like to tell you about them before I go into anything else. Saturday night, I have just concluded what I am told was the largest interconnected satellite teleconference in the history of the United States of America, and I presume the history of the world. We connected by two satellites 23,000 miles above the Earth, 216 separate locations, some of which were the same size as this, some were bigger than this, some were considerably smaller than this, where people gathered together in every state in the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii, as well as four locations in Canada. And with those locations with large video screens, we were able to tell about the things of Jesus, and the report was not one single location failed. Every bit of technical equipment worked to the glory of God, and that was a miracle. And what this is opening up for the world is that a man, for example, in India could, on satellite, connect 100, 200, 500 different locations, and one person could speak to the entire nation or to all those assembled. And it means that every one of us can multiply our efforts in ways that have been hitherto dreamed impossible. And you know what the gospel writer, the John writing in Revelation, said: I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them on the earth. And I am absolutely persuaded that Global Satellite is that angel that will give us the ability to preach to the whole world. Now, for those of you who love biblical prophecy and who love Israel as I do, something else happened this week. We have been given a television station in southern Lebanon, right on the Israeli border. The studio is at what is called the Good Fence, right next to Matula in northern Israel. We increased the power so that the television station blankets the city of Tel Aviv, blankets Tyre and Sidon of biblical days, Nazareth, where our Lord was brought up, the city of Tiberias on the Sea of Galilee, where he walked and did his miracles. We cover up into Lebanon, as far away as Amman, Jordan, into Syria, and over into the island of Cyprus. This is God's station, 24 hours a day available to him. And this week, we began two things, to the best of my knowledge. One was a series of animated Bible stories. We're going to teach the people of that region the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, with animation, which was produced for distribution in Japan and is being taken in English over to there. And each one of the series has Arabic subtitles so it can be seen and understood by the people who speak Arabic, as well as, of course, those who speak English. And in addition to that, our program, the 700 Club, where we pray and minister and teach the Word of God, is now on twice a day. And I'm told that members of the Christian Army in southern Lebanon, with their leader, were watching these programs, and these hard men of battle began to weep when they saw the good news of Jesus and the prayers of people for them. And God is giving His church the marvelous opportunity to prepare the Middle East for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a fulfillment of a dream of mine for 15 years. We prayed and sought God, and He has now fulfilled that. And only eternity is going to reveal what will happen, because the Apostle Paul said, it is first the natural and then the spiritual. And somehow in prophetic things, when Israel begins to be attentive to the things of God, something else happens in the world. And we have seen miracles take place this year that are exceeding in scope anything that I dare to dream possible. Our Lord said, as you know, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. Now, the world as we know it, the material, visible, political, economic world, is in desperate trouble and is coming to an end. The foundations of the economic and political structures are crumbling, overhanging the world's economies is a debt burden of $14 trillion United States dollars. A sum so huge it is hard to contemplate, and so enormous that it is impossible to repay. And because of this enormous debt, there is austerity in countries like Brazil and Argentina. There is difficulty because of the inability to sell produce and commodities in all of the so-called third world nations. I spoke to President Marcos of the Philippines just recently. He said, we're hemorrhaging because the various agricultural commodities of his country are not selling at the proper prices on the open market. And we are in danger in our world of having an economic collapse, which in turn could easily trigger a political collapse, the type of thing that would bring about rioting and pillaging and looting and unemployment of such massive proportions that we can hardly contemplate it. As a matter of fact, I don't think it's stretching a point to say that all of us today are on the threshold of a period in history which is very similar to the period of history the early church faced when the Roman Empire began to be broken up. Now, some would wring their hands and say, well, that's bad. But the truth is, for those of us who know Jesus, that's good. Because it means our Lord is at the door, ready to return. But what about the work that we're doing? If I could give one name to 1983, it would be the year of revival. In our own ministry at CBN, the numbers of people accepting Jesus Christ as Savior have doubled, exactly doubled, over the comparable period last year. The numbers of calls for help, the numbers of answers to prayer, every index of ministry in 1983 has doubled over 1982. And this isn't just with us. I am hearing reports of churches across the United States of America that are experiencing exactly the same thing. Churches are doubling as if God Himself has turned up the spiritual power in the world and said, now this is my time, and the time is short, but I want to show you what I, the Lord your God, am going to do. Now, this is not only in the United States and Canada, but throughout Asia. God is pouring out veritable rivers of spiritual blessings. Our organization, through the goodness of the Lord, took mass media with two goals: to make the Bible the most attractive book in Japan and Jesus Christ the most attractive person in Japan. In Japan, as I understand the figures, there are 500,000 Christians. That is the total body of the church. And we met with these wonderful people, and we said, what can we do to serve you? And they said, we must have the knowledge of the Bible in our country. So using all of the modern techniques of mass communication, the modern advertising agencies, billboards, radio, television, newspapers, subway cars, all these things, we created a Bible campaign, and an association with Living Bibles brought out a new Japanese version of the Bible called Alive Again. And that Bible became one of the 10 bestsellers in Japan. And we followed it up with a series of Bible stories, and according to the Nielsen ratings, in Tokyo alone, just this one city, at 6:30 on Tuesday night on a national network that is run every single week, New Testament Bible stories showing Jesus Christ performing miracles as He did in the Bible and teaching the parables as He did in the Bible. 5 million Japanese people watch that program every single Tuesday night, according to the Nielsen reports. 10 times the numbers of the entire church in Japan. which says God is creating a hunger in those people's hearts. They love what is happening. They sense that this is the day of the visitation of Almighty God, and they realize the failing of the materialistic philosophy that has gripped their society as it has gripped many other societies, not only in Asia but around the world. And they are desperately looking for spiritual answers. And I believe this is true in the United States, it's true in Asia, and it's true in other parts of the world. But not only spiritually, Joel the prophet gives us, if you read the book, what I consider the five major steps of God's plan and purpose in the world today. And Joel tells us, I, speaking for the Lord, am going to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Now, that, of course, everybody says means spiritual. But it didn't mean it in Joel's day. It means material. He says your vats are going to overflow with oil. Your floors are going to be heaped up with grain. You're going to have enough money to give to the things of God. And then he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I was just in, about 3 weeks ago, a great Asian convention in Singapore. There were 1,800 delegates from all over Asia. At the concluding session of that meeting, a businessman from Malaysia stood up. He was Chinese by ethnic background, and he told a brief testimony. He was a businessman and a failing businessman. He was threatened with bankruptcy. He made a company that sold toothbrushes, and no one wanted to buy toothbrushes. And he had toothbrushes in his home, toothbrushes in his warehouse, toothbrushes in his factory, and he couldn't sell them. And in his desperation, he turned his life to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ sent him a buyer for his toothbrush factory and all of the surplus toothbrushes. In 6 years from that moment, God has breathed blessings on this Malaysian businessman until he, according to what I know about him, he is the wealthiest man in Malaysia. And he controls companies that have an aggregate value in excess of $2 billion American dollars. And God has told him the reason for this is so that he could help reach souls for Jesus Christ in Asia. Now, this isn't just Asia. This is the United States. This is Africa. It's South America. It's going to be all over the world. The Lord God will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And some of you who are here tonight have struggled. You have suffered. You have done without. You have known privation for Jesus Christ that some of us in the United States can only dream about. We don't know anything about what you've suffered. But God says, I'm going to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And he said, my people shall never be put to shame again. There's going to be enough and to spare for the work of the Lord worldwide. And when he has equipped his people with knowledge as he is now, and with the anointing of the Spirit, and with the financial resources, then it's time to lengthen the stakes and to prepare the tents, because there is the sound of abundance of rain. God is getting ready to send the greatest harvest of souls to the church that the Church of Jesus Christ has ever known. And if I would give just a little estimate, just a little one, it would be 400 million people. But I think that probably is too low. We're going to see multiplied millions coming into the church of God, in your meetings as evangelists, so many people are going to find salvation, you will not know what to do with them all. The churches will be overflowing, so there is not room enough to receive them. Young Yi Cho in Seoul, Korea, is going past 300,000 to 500,000 members, and that is not going to be unusual anymore. He is going to be the norm rather than the exception. Now, I want to share from you from the Word a way that this blessing can be in your life, not just through those who use television and radio and mass communications, but through personal men and women like you are. The Lord Jesus Christ felt urgency as His ministry was coming to a close, just as we feel urgency today. We have the power of God. He is giving us the financial resources, and we have the willingness of people, and we have tremendous means of mass communication at our disposal. We have never in history had such a thing working together all at one time. But the thing that God hasn't given us is extra time. This world as we know it is coming to an end, and a new world, the kingdom of God, is emerging. And this conference is not by accident in this year. The year of revival. This conference is not an accident. It is in the plan and will of Almighty God that every one of you are here. Jesus told a story of a man, a ruler, who had been given a kingdom and went to a far land to receive it. Before he departed, he called his servants to him, and he gave them talents. To one, 5 talents. To another, 2 talents. To another, 1 talent. And he said, "Occupy with these until I return." The man who had received 5 talents went out and began to do business. He bought goods and traded with them at a profit, reinvested the profit and bought more, and continued to multiply his Lord's money. The one who had received 2 talents did the same. He bought. He sold. He bought again. He took risks. He dared the impossible. He put his money, his Lord's money, out where there was risk. But he made profit and he made gain and he multiplied it. The third servant said, "My Lord is a hard man. He gathers where he didn't sow, and he reaps where he did not straw. I'm going to play it safe. I will take the Lord's money and dig a hole in the ground and bury it. And when he comes back, I'll give it to him. I won't lose anything." So when the Lord had received his kingdom, he came back and he called the servants to him and he said, "Tell me how you did with trading." The first servant came to him and said, "Lord, I've taken your 5 talents and I have multiplied it. I have 5 more. Here are 10 talents. And the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Lord." The second servant came, and the Lord said, "What did you do?" And the servant said, "I took your 2 talents, Lord, and I multiplied them." And the Lord said, "Well done. Enter into the joy of your Lord." The third servant came, and the Lord said, "Tell me what you did with my money." And he said, I was afraid. And I digged a hole in the ground. And I put your money in the hole. Here is your own. I've lost nothing. And Jesus said, the Lord replied to this man, thou wicked and slothful servant. Take him, he said, and cast him into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And take his talent and give it to the man who has 10 talents. Well, at that saying, there was a gasp in the crowd. That is unfair. It goes against our sense of justice. You will take from the man who has nothing and give it to the man who has 10? Many governments today take from the man who has 10 and give it to the man who has 1. But Jesus said the kingdom of God does not work that way. And in this, he enunciated a universal law that can be your law for reaching 4 billion people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, what I call the law of use, unto him who has, more will be given. And unto him who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. Because the principle is, if you will exercise what God gives you, then it will multiply. Now the key, my beloved brothers and sisters, is not to despise the day of small beginnings. God told me to buy a television station when I had just graduated from theological seminary. And he gave me $70 to buy it with. That was all. He told Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, and all he gave him was a stick. It isn't what we ultimately have, it's what we begin with that God breathes on that we use that makes the difference. Now you could sit back and say, oh, if I could only be Billy Graham, then I could reach the world. Well, you can't be Billy Graham. But Billy Graham can't be you either. Because God has given each of you a unique place and call in the body of Christ. Every one of you, precious and unique. And if you will exercise what God has given you, it'll grow. Now let me explain an illustration from the physical world. If you take your arm and you begin to lift weights, it can be 5 pounds. And you lift that 5-pound weight for a while, your arm will strengthen. Then you can add a little bit to it, and you can lift 7 pounds. And then it will get stronger, and you can lift 10 pounds. And if you add a little bit more, it can be 20 pounds. And if you lift, before long, you will be lifting up 100 pounds. But if you take your arm and bind it to your chest, at the end of 6 months, you won't be able to pick up a cup of coffee. Because you will lose what has been given to you. It is the use of what God gives you that begins to multiply. Do you know what would happen if you took 100 American dollars or rupees or a baht or whatever currency you have, marks or francs, 100 of them, and in a year's time you doubled them? At the end of a year you would have 200. If you doubled them again at the end of another year, you would have 400. If you doubled them again at the end of another year, you would have 800. And at the end of 10 years, you would have about 12,000. But do you know what you would have at the end of 20 years? If you doubled 100 units of currency, whatever it was, every year, at the end of 20 years, you would have $50 million. And at the end of 25 years, you'd have $1.6 billion. At the end of 35 years, $1.6 trillion. And at the end of 50 years, you would have all the money in the world. Now, we hear there are 4.5 billion people in the world who need Jesus. There are about 1.5 billion Christians, so that leaves 3 billion. But let's assume that we need to reach 4 billion and lead them to Jesus. And there are 4,000 evangelists here in this room. Let's say that every one of you just set out to do one simple thing. That this next year, you were going to lead 10 people each to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about 50 million, just 10. And each one of those 10, you were going to fill with the power and the anointing and the zeal and the enthusiasm that they would be soul winners. You would teach them, you would train them, you would love them, you would make them a disciple of Jesus, and you would lead them into the truth of the Spirit of God. Next year, if we had this conference again and you came back, we would have 40,000 evangelists in this room instead of 4,000. True. And if every one of those 40,000 people would go home the subsequent year with one goal, to lead 10 people to Jesus, just 10, and to train them and teach them in the things of God and let them understand the Word and to instruct them simply how to ask for a decision and to lead somebody else to the Lord. You know what the conference would be the next time? Hopefully it'd be someplace cooler, but it would be 400,000 people. 400,000 evangelists. And every one of those evangelists on fire for God, and when they left the conference saying, we're going to do one thing this year, we're going to lead 10 people to Jesus Christ. 10 people isn't that hard to do. It's less than one a month. And you're going to train them and love them and work with them and teach them to lead others to Christ, and they would all come back at the meeting next year. The year after that, you know what we would have? There would be 4 million evangelists trained and ready and on fire for God. And if each one of those people came out of the conference filled with the zeal and the joy of the Lord to win 10 people to Jesus, that's all they had to do for a whole year. It's easy. The next conference, there wouldn't be a place big enough. You'd take an entire country. You'd have to have 40 million evangelists then coming back. And the next year, the same thing would happen. And they would go out, and all they would need to do would be to lead 10 people to the Lord in a whole year and train them and teach them how they could lead others to Christ. And the following conference, you'd have to take all of Europe because you'd have 400 million evangelists. And the next year would be Victory Day. You could say V for Victory, see? That would be the year we'd get them all. those 400,000 would go back to their homeland with one motive, one desire, one heart, that they were going to lead 10 people to Jesus Christ and teach them to lead others, but there wouldn't be any others to lead. There'd be 4 billion people, and they would all know Jesus Christ. So that would be 6 years you'd do it. That's right. 6 years. But you say, Lord, I want to be on television. I don't want to lead 10 people to Jesus. That's too dull. But if all of us together, working like a mighty army, we can see this world turned around. And instead of wringing our hands about abortion, about drunkenness, about crime, about drug abuse, about atheism, about those who mock God, we would say, we have now God's world. The kingdom of God could come. And what more would our Lord wait for than to return and rule over a planet where everybody there was singing His praises? He is standing at the door of our world now. And He's knocking. He said, I want to come back. How long will you delay bringing back the King? Do you see the world is in our hands right here tonight? We're not talking about some idealistic thing in super technology. We're talking about a law of the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ taught us that works. It works in money, but it also works in wisdom, and it works in spiritual life, and it works in evangelism. And what I would like us to do right now would be to dedicate ourselves to this task. It is not an impossible task. Our Lord said, go ye into all the world and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. He's with us. He's here tonight. And I would like everyone from every country. It is so thrilling to see our dear brothers and sisters from Hungary, to see people from Russia, the Soviet Union, to see people from Japan and Indonesia and Thailand and various countries in Africa. I know I met Bishop Castro from the Philippines, bringing a delegation of 100, I believe 17 from the Philippines, Southeast Asia, mainland China. Together, this is more important than the whole United Nations, this meeting. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? And can we not, with the presence of the Lord in this place, ask Him for the revival that He says He's going to send to the world? And to say, Lord, would you use me as an instrument of your love and of your peace for this world, that we might reach these nations with the good news of Jesus before any more perish and go into eternal torment. Let's pray together. And as we're praying, I want you to think of that brother or that sister to your right or your left. They may be friends and countrymen. They may be people from another land. But think of the world and think of Jesus' love for the world. And pray for that person next to you and love that person next to you with the love of Jesus. Pray for that person that he or she might see fruit abounding in this year beyond anything they've dared to ask or think. Oh God, we pray for the people sitting next to us. We pray for the power of God to come on this assembly. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost and fire to come down, Lord. Oh God, revive your church. Fill these men and women with your Spirit and with the anointing of God. May they know the blessing of God in their lives. May they be instruments in the hand of a loving, wonderful, righteous God. Oh, may this world come to know Jesus. Lord, may every soul come to the Lord. May there be this world evangelization as we've never seen before. God, do a miracle in the life of every one of us. Oh, we love each other here. You said if we would be one, Lord, as you are one with the Father, and your people tonight are as one. Hear our prayer for the world, Lord. God, give us souls this year. Multiplied millions at the feet of Jesus. Oh, God, do a miracle, we pray, in this world. Oh, let the love of Christ flow through us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of His blessed Spirit go with you and make you exceeding fruitful in every good work to His glory. In His name, amen.